This is Hard Parking, sponsored by Right Honda and Right Toyota out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Of course, I'm your host, Shay Finning. Welcome to the show. If this is your first time, I know I've kind of been out and about lately. Been doing some events, spreading the car all over social media. So statistically, some of you could be tuning in for the first time. Just got done doing Barrett Jackson's Future Collector Car Show, sponsored by Meguiar's. Mayor Ortega of Scottsdale came out. Craig Jackson came out. I don't really know Craig Jackson. I've been around him as far as within a few feet, handed him the microphone this weekend. I co-emceed, as I think I talked about this before, with Bogey, who we kind of do this funny thing because she's a local celebrity, but a lot of people don't really know who she is unless they're in those circles. So if you're not into cars, and some of you listening to this aren't, we're not all the same people. And that's kind of the whole point of this podcast, is to kind of put that on display. But Bogey has a show, or had a show, on Motor Trend TV, All Girls Garage. They do these big SEMA builds. They do builds that are at Barrett Jackson. And she's a legit hands-on mechanic. Like, she's a legit person. And what I mean by legit is you see a lot of girls in the car game, and you wonder if it's just, are they using a pretty face? Do they have all the connections? How do they get so many followers? Do they really know what they're doing? And I would say in every instance, or most instances, whether they use their pretty face or they use their connections or they use their hands to build, they all kind of know what they're doing. But I put Bogey in kind of a different light because of the fact that she's had this continued success. And you could tell, for the type of people that really consume her brand the most, you have to work extra hard to earn their respect and get in those circles. SEMA is not some tuner man's game. When you do Battle of the Builders, when you have cars that go, when you're associated with two or three projects and they all know you by name, you're legit. And she is that person. So I was able to kind of work off of her again this year as I did last year. And so we make a great tandem up there on stage because of the fact that I'm not in those circles, but a lot of the local people know who I am because of it. You know, I do all the local car meets, the car events, I do the One Auto stuff. I have the podcast, so it's kind of funny. And that's what I mean by we kind of jab at each other, because it's like, I got to hang out with you because I don't know any of these people. I don't know these years, makes, and models of any of these cars. But if you bring me a broken car, I can fix it. But I couldn't tell you the difference between that car over there on the left and that car over there on the right. And I think some of it's a little game because she could look at a car and know if it's a Mustang or a Camaro. But she may not know if that's a C7 Corvette versus, you know, a C8 versus, well, she would know that too. But she probably couldn't look at a regular C8 and go, that's a Z06. That's not a Z06. Visually, there's not a lot of difference. So you have to kind of know your Corvettes. Whereas I could tell you which is which, but I couldn't tell you all the specs because I'm not even a car person. I don't consider myself a car person. I don't know shit about cars. But the event was really good. They moved it up a day. It was supposed to be Sunday, and it was supposed to rain on Sunday, which it did rain on Sunday. They moved up to Saturday. And fortunately, they didn't lose a lot of people because this was very last minute. Basically, it's Thursday afternoon. We're going to move the show to Saturday. Can you still make it? I said, of course I can make it. You know, here at home, we were cooking for Jaylene's birthday, my daughter. We never eat until like 6 or 7. The show was over at 4:30, so my wife cooked the ribs. She did a pretty good job, which is funny because she couldn't eat the ribs because she's doing this experimental vegan thing, and she's sticking to her guns. And I guess she said that she's lost like 8 or 9 pounds in the last 3 weeks. Now, is it she's not eating as much? Are you missing all the preservatives? You know, I'd have to believe that switching to a vegan diet for a month, losing weight, there's more to it than just going from a carnivore diet to rabbit food. Because we didn't really eat much red meat anyway. We don't eat a lot of pork. You know, really, we had chicken all the fucking time. And I got tired of eating chicken. Chicken, 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 chicken. And not fried chicken. It'd be grilled chicken. Or chicken chopped up and put in something, I don't know. So we didn't really eat bad. Maybe she stopped drinking too. Maybe alcohol affects her differently than it affects me, because I can drink all the time. My weight's been pretty steady for the past probably eight or nine months. Now, if I wanted to, I could dedicate and probably lose 6 or 7 pounds. But I don't want to because I'm not going to give up meat. I'm not going to give up fried foods. If I want French fries from McDonald's, I'm going to buy French fries from McDonald's. If I want a beer, if I want some hard liquor, any of that stuff, I'm going to treat myself. But then again, I don't want to live till I'm 90. As soon as I start peeing myself or forgetting who people are and having a mental breakdown, I'm done. Anyway, so the show was a success. It's over, it's done with. This week, I'm probably going to be going to Barrett Jackson 2 or 3 times at least. Have a media pass because I applied for a media pass, so I get these updates every day. But it doesn't really get me shit. It gets me access to some things. I have a list of what's going where, so I can take photos if I want, video. It gives me access to the media center, but I don't have auction block access, no bar access. You know, none of the things that I really like to go to Barrett Jackson for. Of course, I want to go there and look at the cars, hang out with friends, and drink. So I'm getting passes from other people. So, but then I have people that come in from out of town. Before I get to the next portion of this podcast, because I'm going to update you, I have a complaint. I'm upset about something. It's a very first world problem, and it has to do with my NSX. And then I'm going to talk about attitudes and people that present themselves one way, but then when you meet them, they're another way. All that and more coming up after this word from 4Wheel Online. Also, a little bit of car news because you guys said you like that the most out of everything I talk about. Car news, for some reason, is so important. For over a decade, 4Wheel Online has been bringing the best truck accessories and truck parts to enhance the appearance and performance of all trucks and SUVs. They are dedicated to providing an extensive range of upgrades that will match any maker model on the road. The truck products cover everything to give your truck a custom look and added functionality. Need a wheel and tire package? Head over and use the configuration tool. They carry all the major brands of wheels and tires, so go get outfitted today. Visit them online at 4Wheel Online. You guys like that read? My new revision of the 4Wheel Online read. I told them this year, should they continue with their sponsorship, I was going to redo the commercial. Redo my read. Find some music. I pay a lot of money every month for music. I probably should cancel that because I don't really use it very much. But it does give me something to write off at the end of the year, which hopefully helps with my tax situation. But the office is somewhat updated. I think I've talked about that a little bit in the past. If not, I know I've talked about it on the Patreon. But over this past couple weeks, I finally took the butcher block tables. I had butcher blocks in the garage that we had purchased for the remodel of the house probably 1.5 years ago. Wife lost the receipt, and she said that we should return it. We should take it to Home Depot. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I have a Home Depot Husky brand desk in my room, one of those, you put the crank in there and you crank it up, it's adjustable. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. But I figured we could just take the butcher block and I could put those in here as well, because if you've seen my office, the layout was okay. But I have the IKEA desks, and the IKEA desks are hollow. And so I had a monitor stand clamped onto it with a monitor, 2 microphones, a camera, and you adjust it enough times, it starts to break. So then the monitor arm started digging into the desk. So I had to loosen it up and move it down about 4 inches so I didn't just completely snap the desk in half. And so that was my motivation to finally take some time, sand these things down, stain them, then throw some acrylic over them. And I took my pipe furniture, the legs that I had, or all the parts that I had from my first shirt press. And so I kind of reclaimed some of that, and then I had to order some more parts and build the desk out. So I just put it in there. It looks great. And there's more to go for the studio, but that's a big start. And then visually, it looks kind of nice in here. I say this, you can't see it. I'm not recording this. This isn't on video, but you just have to trust me. Finally got water in the pool in the backyard. But something going on with our pipes, of course, at our pool pump and our pool filter. So now we're going to happily pay to get that replaced because you got to do it. And that's one of the things, right? So if you're in the middle of a project and something pops up and it's broken, you have to fix it then and there. You just got to do it. Can't be upset about it. No one broke it, but they just discovered that the structural integrity is off. You just have to bite the bullet and fix it. So then we're going to have a new pool filter coming as well. But the backyard looks great other than that. So I'm going to complain about something a little bit. So you guys know Variant Wheels. You don't know Variant Wheels, but I've had Mike from Variant Wheels on the show a couple times. One time he took the call from inside his car. One time I think he was on the phone, or maybe he was sitting in front of me. I don't remember. Great guy. I've helped them out a lot. And it just happens that they had a special deal on some wheels that they're trying to, a wheel collection that they're trying to get out there. And so we did some talking over the past couple months, and long story short, I decided to go with a set of their wheels. Got a discount on the wheels. You guys know that's how I approach sponsorships, partnerships. Saying, hey, I don't want you to necessarily give me anything for free unless you want to. I'm willing to pay for it. But if I didn't have to pay as much for it as retail, and if the discount was good enough, then I'll make sure I do you proper by blabbing about you and doing whatever media you want, paying a photographer to take photos, you know, wear your swag. You know, I had the autocannon stuff on, and we had autocannon in studio 2 weeks ago, but I wore that at the Future Collector Car Show. I had the Type R jacket on, and then midway through the show, I swapped out into the Type S jacket. So I had the Honda and the Acura thing on. Happy to do it. I love to do it. And it also shows me in a different light because I'm pretty conservative in how I dress. It's a little louder collection. It's streetwear, automotive streetwear. So I get the wheels. I get a great deal on the wheels. Not complaining about that at all. In fact, I was close to going with the Forge Line wheels that I had on my old NSX. And one of the top dogs at Forge Line saw that I had put in a kind of an inquiry, and he reached directly out to me. He said, "Oh, did you get a new car, Jay? Got something you want to tell us?" It's like, "Well, you know, I kind of like these wheels, and I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do, but I'm looking at them." Now, had I asked for, because I hate asking for shit, had I asked for the same deal that they gave me the last time, they wouldn't have lost any money. I would have had to spend some money. I would have got a great deal on it, but I would have ended up spending probably 2.5 times more than I spent for the same for the hookup with Variant. So I saved myself a lot of money, I thought. So this is going to be kind of car technical for you guys. So just kind of sit with me for a few minutes, because some of the things I'm about to complain about, whether you're into cars or not, you can feel this. You can feel it because it has to do with dealerships, has to do with tires, has to do with waiting for things. So by going, I went from a 19-inch and a 20-inch wheel. The NSX is always staggered, 19-inch in the front, 20 in the back. And from a 19 and 20 to a 20 in the front and 21 in the back. A lot of my buddies make fun of me because my car was stock height. I get it. I accept it. When you're in the scene, when you're in the car scene, your car has to look the part too. So if you have a nice car and nice wheels, you have to lower the car a little bit. Now, I don't like driving with my car on the floor, aka slammed. I don't have the wheels bowed out. You know, those are all different looks for different people. Do whatever you want to make yourself happy. But by getting bigger wheels and tires, I told myself, damn it, I got to spend money to lower my car a little bit. So I took the car to a local shop, an NSX specialty shop, and I had two options. I could lower it by 12 millimeter or 24 millimeter. 12 millimeter really looks like you've done anything. 24 millimeter, which is about an inch, in theory doesn't sound like much, but on a car, an inch makes a lot of difference. So a lot of guys, you might do a half inch or 3/4 inch, but my only options were 12, which is a half inch, and 24, which is a full inch. I don't have a lift system on my car, but I mean a lift system, an air lift system that'll lift the front of my car up when I get to an aggressive driveway. I don't have that. I also don't have $8,000 laying around to buy a new front lip when I scrape the bottom of my car, which is why I haven't done it so far. So I reach out to the shop and I said, hey, I need to lower my car, getting bigger wheels and tires. My car's going to look stupid if I don't lower it a little bit with bigger wheels and tires. So I go there, $1,300 to lower the car 12 millimeters, a half inch. That's for their whatever their kit is. That's for them doing it, and that's for the calibration after the fact, because the car is all electrical. I've read all sorts of things online on how the car basically is a complete nightmare if you try to lower it yourself, specific to the car that I have. First car I've ever paid anybody else to lower. I've always lowered my own cars in the garage. Always. Pain in the ass, potentially, but I've always done that. So this is the first time I've had to pay somebody else to do it. So then they say, well, you're going to need an alignment because you lower your car, which is a good practice. You don't always need an alignment, but you should get an alignment, especially on a finicky car. Okay, I will get an alignment. So the shop says, well, our alignment machine's down. I go, okay, who do you recommend? And they say, well, we defer our clients to Acura of Tempe. Great. That's where I bought my car. So I schedule an appointment to get an alignment on the NSX. Perfect. Take them the NSX, and they have one NSX tech. No one's even allowed to move my car unless you're certified at that place. I'm like, relax. I let anybody move my car. You get in, you put your foot on the brake, you push the start button, you push the D to go into drive, and you just push the gas. It's not that complicated. But okay, you're an Acura dealer, and you're only allowing one type of employee at your shop to drive this car. Cool, your policy, whatever. So drop the car off. I get a loaner, a nice RDX. I'm not going to tell you guys about the RDX because you've already said, according to the polls, you don't care what my thoughts are on rental cars. I consider that a rental car. But it was pretty fun. I had the RDX for a few days. Now, why would I have had the RDX for a few days when I'm just getting an alignment? An alignment should be like a 30-minute thing, 30 minutes to an hour. So I asked them as I'm dropping the car off, how long is it going to take? Should I wait tomorrow? Well, we got to wait for the NSX tech to come back, and we're really careful with these cars, which I appreciate. We're not sure. We're going to call you. So they call me. They go, well, you know, we lowered the car, but it's missing a few adjustment shims, and we have to order them from the local whatever. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, guys, I need this done by this weekend, which is Future Collector Car Show, because I told Variant Wheels that they can install them, and I can have them on display up at Future Collector Car Show at Barrett Jackson. So now the clock is ticking, and I asked, I go, well, it's an NSX. Have you guys not done an alignment on an NSX before? This is your Halo car. Well, we've had a couple come through, but, you know, we're not quite sure. And, you know, is this, you got the bigger wheels on there? I go, no. Those are 19s and 20s. It came with 19s and 20s. So it's just 12 millimeters lower. Other than that, it shouldn't be a big deal. Well, we got to order a few parts, and we ran out, and we estimated that it's going to be about 3 hours worth of labor. Okay, 3 hours worth of labor. So I get online, and I ask the guys, the other NSX guys, hey, is it 3 hours of labor sound normal on an alignment on an NC1 NSX? Everyone says no. Reach out to the local speed shop and say, hey, guys, how long are your alignments if your machine wasn't down? He said, well, we charge two hours. I go, okay. 2 hours sounds fair because this shop, my speed shop, the one who lowered the car, people already talk crap about because they say they're expensive. They're about market or a little less than market. Plus, they're the pros, so you trust them to do the job, except for the fact that their machine is down. So I have to trust the dealership. It's dealership. You guys hear that? $650 later, I get the car back. Yes, that's right. I paid $650 for a freaking alignment. Now, one person can say, well, it's a supercar tax. But I know that it shouldn't have cost more than a couple hundred dollars based on doing my research, asking everybody else. But they had the car. There was no one else really around to do it. So it's kind of one of those deals where I got a great deal on the wheels, but now I'm $2,000 into the car before I even got the tires because it's $1,300 to lower it, and I just paid another $650. So we're rounding up to the nearest thousands. We're at $2,000 on top of what I paid for the wheels. Now I got to get the tires. Michelin Pilot Sport 4Ss. I don't expect all of you listening to understand what that even means, but believe me when I tell you it is a premium tire. But I'm not getting 19 and 20s. I'm getting 20 and 21s. So the bigger the tire you have, the more expensive it's going to be, especially if it's a real brand like Michelin or Pirelli. Or, I mean, Toyos aren't that expensive, but they're a good tire. Continental. Okay, so now I picked up the NSX. I take it to the wheel shop, Variant and Element. Great people. You know, my mistake that I didn't go ahead and buy tire pressure monitoring systems, basically the stem caps that tell you if your tires are low. I should have bought those ahead of time, had them pre-install them, on the wheels, on the tires, so I can show up, they can swap my stuff out, and I can be out of there within an hour because my time is very valuable and I have a lot of shit to do. 2 hours later, they get done putting on the wheels, and the car looks fantastic. No complaints. No complaints. No complaints at all. So, shout out to Variant and Element for working with me on this package deal. Shout out to my credit card and my bank account for having enough funds to make this happen. But damn, if I compare the amount of money that I spent on the wheels, on lowering, alignment, and tires, compared to what I just paid for the wheels, we're talking 2.5, almost 3 times as much at the end of the day. So what started as a great deal ended up costing me thousands of dollars more than I ever wanted to spend, which is the whole reason why when Mike came to me early on, when I got the NSX, he said, "Hey man, let's get you some wheels, those tires. I can spec it out right here. Get you." I'm like, "Mike, fucking chill, bro. Just got this car. I don't have that kind of money. That's why I'm buying a U set from a buddy in California. The car's going to look great as it is. And I'll get to you when I get to you because I don't have an extra $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 laying around to buy wheels and tires. It just doesn't make financial sense to me." I didn't spend that much, but I spent a lot, yet here we are. But the car looks great. So you can see it on social media. I've got white wheels again, but this time it's 5-spoke. And it's just a nice, it's a better visual fitment than having the 1920s. And I like my old wheels. 99% of the photos you're going to see of my car has those other wheels on it. And they look great, but these just look so much better. One of the things, it's a weird phobia, or it's not a phobia, right? But it's kind of a weird personal thing that I have where if someone comes up to me and talks to me and I don't spend enough time engaging with them, then I feel like an asshole. Some people come up to you and you could talk to them and just talk for 20 or 30 minutes. And then sometimes you don't have time because you're literally running to go do something else. So like this last weekend at Future Collector Car Show, I was late coming back from lunch because where we were stationed at was way in the back on the polo fields. And if you wanted to get some food, you have to walk up to the auction, like halfway to the auction, but they have like this long walkway and all this stuff. But basically they have all the food stuff out there. So I was running late and I'm passing people and it's like, "Jay," and he's like, "Hey man, what's up?" And these are obviously people that I know if I respond to them, but I can't stop and talk when I'm already running late. And so I motion for them to kind of follow me and, you know, I had a cool conversation with one of the guys. But there's times when you're on the field or you're walking around and they're like, "Hey Jay, what's up, man? This is so-and-so. And I just, you know, I've been following you on Instagram and we've talked a couple times." I'm like, "Hey man, good to finally meet you." And you want to talk to them more, but you can't because you're in the middle of doing something. Or this is something that always pisses me off. So if you're listening and you're one of these people and you do this, I'm mad at you. I could be talking to someone and then people who know me can come up and they steal the conversation. It's like, I know you. I've known you for a long time. Chill, and let me talk to this person that I literally just met. Now, some of you won't even say hi because I look like I'm too busy. And then I get mad at you too. Like, "Hey man, we were there. You were hanging out, but you look busy. Come by and say hi next time. Wave, jump around in the background or something." But but the whole point of this is there's influencers out there. There's people that are on YouTube and you get to see them in person for the first time. And then that's when you really get to see or kind of get a better understanding of who they actually are when the camera's off. I was in Monterey a couple of years ago. There's a famous guy who has this, you know, a YouTube channel where he buys stuff that doesn't cost that much and rebuilds it. And, you know, he has this big online persona. I don't really watch his stuff. As some of you know, I don't really watch car shit on YouTube. I just don't. I know who the people are. Some of them, like Larry Chin. Larry Chin's kind of short if you don't really know him, but like short with you. But I wouldn't call him a jerk by any means. He just doesn't really know you. He's super busy. So he's not this type of person. But the type of person I've seen, this specific person in Monterey, and I've seen them out at Barry Jackson a couple times. One time I was in Monterey and we were at some, you know, car show. I mean, it's Monterey Car Week. And he was doing something on his GoPro or had some guy filming him, and he was talking about something really quick. And then when I say this, I don't know if you guys have ever seen influencers, you know, these YouTubers out there. On very rare exception, it's not someone walking around with two or three camera people with big, huge cameras and big, huge spotlights. It's usually one person with their GoPro or their iPhone on a stick, or them and one person following them around capturing their content. So this person was talking about a car, them and their little camera person. As soon as they got done, there was like an older guy kind of hanging out by the side who was clearly waiting for them to get done. So as soon as they get done, the older guy walks up to him and says, "Hey, so-and-so, big fan. I watch your show all the time." And instead of the guy turning him and saying, "Hey, man, I really appreciate it. Thanks for the support. I would love to chat, but I got to run over here and do this thing. Thank you so much for saying hi." Instead of that, he just kind of looked at him, and I don't even know if he said thanks. He may have said, "Thanks, man." He didn't even say that. He just kind of looked at him and kind of like super dismissive and just walked off. I observed this and I thought to myself, God, what a dick. Like this person came up to you in this very public place. He's not swarming you. No one's swarming you. And it's one of those deals when you go out and you can hear people saying, "Oh, that's so-and-so and that's so-and-so over there." And it's funny because if you're an online personality, people seem less likely to swarm you than they are just to be like, "Hey, that's so-and-so over there. Oh yeah, that's. And so if someone comes up and talks to him and takes a selfie, then people might slowly start migrating in that area. You're a TV star, you can't go anywhere. Hell, Cody Walker, you know, you guys know who Cody Walker is, hopefully. At Fuel Fest, because that's his event, at Fuel Fest, this last time he rode around in a pickup truck with Sean Lee. Sean Lee's been on the show before. Usually he goes around in a golf cart. So he goes from tent to tent, uses sponsors, like special sponsors, takes pictures with them, and then the tent crowd gets bigger and bigger and bigger because people's like, "Oh, that's Cody Walker." So everyone runs over there and he has a security around him. And you know, that's a different deal. Now, some of these other people that I've seen at these events are a lot more famous, YouTube legit famous, or they might be on TV and YouTube, but it's all car centric. And they never seem to have people swarming around them. I always thought that was kind of funny, but this specific person I saw two or three other times, and there's times where I've tried to say stuff to him. Because you guys know me, I'll do subtle conversation, not, "Hey man, big fan. Hey, we should hang out sometime. Get on the podcast. Take a selfie. Do a selfie." You know, that's not really my style. And my style has worked well for me. It's worked well with Adam Carolla. You know, I've become friends with Matt the Moderator D'Andrea because of my more natural style, not a forced style. But I've tried to make small talk with this person and they were just as dismissive. And I'm like, okay. But now I've been around this person 2 years in a row at this special event to where now it's like, okay, Jay is on staff. Jay is part of the talent as well. He's one of the MCs. I'm one of the guest judges. So Jay is an established person in my arena. And last year, this person kind of floated around, took a picture, the group picture, and disappeared. This time, they were around a whole lot more. But I walked up to this person at one point and said, "Hey, you going to Monterey?" And it was just me and this person. And you know, Monterey Car Week. "Yeah, I don't know. We'll see." And then just, that was it. That's all I got. And we weren't busy. That's the type of interaction where you would expect for him to turn to me or kind of look towards me. "You know, I don't know. You know, I try to go every year, but I never know really what's going to happen. You know, things get busy. I got a couple other shows to do. But, you know, maybe. I mean, I don't know. What about you? Are you going?" That's the net. That exchange is the more natural exchange between normal people. So that is, within my personal reaction and witnessing this person react to other people, not a good person. But that's going back to say that's why I don't want to be in those shoes. I don't want people talking to me and then walking away and saying, oh God, what a dick. And I don't take compliments very well. Those of you who know me well know that. You know, it's funny, when I was at the show trying to clean my car a little bit, and this kid and his dad comes up, oh man, this is such a cool car. You know, I said, all right, man. Hey, thanks, man. That's awesome. And the kid kept talking to me, and I was like, I don't know what to say to this kid besides thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because he said they had just seen me the other day. And it's, are you sure it was me? But yeah, nobody else has a white on white NSX that looks like mine anywhere around here. I knew for a fact it was mine when he mentioned the roads that they saw me on and my hard parking decal in the back of the car. So he just kept telling me how cool the car was. And, you know, eventually after 20, 30 seconds, his dad walked him away. But I hope he wasn't like, that guy's a dick. Especially if it's a kid. Especially if it's a kid. Because that's where dreams are made of. You know, someone started my car, and I hope it was one of you at the Future Collector Car Show. Because I'm sometimes, I shouldn't be saying this on here. Sometimes I leave my keys in my car. Especially at a car event. No more, though. Now that I've said it publicly, I'm not going to do it anymore. Now that I've said it publicly on this podcast. But I was up on stage, and I swear I heard my car start up. And then later that day, one of my friends sent me an Instagram, a DM. He's like, bro, did you know someone started your car up today? I'm like, I thought I heard it. But we don't all know the same people, so I'm thinking it was one of my close friends, because most people aren't going to get into a car and start it. Anyway, beware of celebrity assholes. Most of you aren't going to even say anything to someone. You're just going to recognize them or take a photo of them from far away. Like, that's a normal thing to do. Like, oh, look, there's Brad Pitt. And you zoom in. You're so far away. When you take that photo, it looks like you took it with an old iPhone potato phone or an old Motorola. It's such a shitty photo. My wife would be like, creeper. You're such a creeper. She always calls me a creeper. She calls me a creeper in my own house. She calls me a creeper when I get a notification there's someone at the front door. And I look on my phone on the Google app or the Nest app, and I watch who's at the front door. Calls me a creeper for that. It's like, I'll tell her, hey, where were you guys coming from? I saw you coming in the garage at 8 o'clock tonight. Was the front door broken? You watched us come in the garage? Well, yeah, I got a notification and I watched. I saw people moving. It goes, oh, it was you and so-and-so. You're such a creeper. Doesn't make me a creeper watching my own video camera to wonder what the hell's going on in my house. Coming up, car news. Some of you who kind of keep tabs on these things have definitely seen this story, and some of you have not. This is about Tesla recalling over 2 million cars due to autopilot concerns. This first broke in December, but 2 million cars is a lot. But I would say it sounds like we always beat up on Tesla, and I'm not beating up on Tesla because all manufacturers have to recall cars. But I think the problem with Tesla is that they're always in the forefront of everything. So when they have to do a recall, it's a far bigger deal than it ever should be. Now, obviously, an autopilot feature, which in my opinion isn't a true autopilot feature, because you have to pay attention to what's going on the road. You have to touch the steering wheel and kind of guide it every, I don't know, 6 seconds or so. So you can't just put in an autopilot and take a nap or get on your laptop or start playing video games. The system won't allow you to do it. And there's other car manufacturers now that have this software because it's open source, and Elon Musk says, here's our software, do what you want with it. Hopefully you can make it better. It's kind of fear-mongering, I guess, is the term. This whole autopilot thing and recalling 2 million cars because it's not like Cyberdyne. This isn't Terminator where the car is all of a sudden going to decide to drive you off the road against your will. It's only autopilot when you put it in autopilot. So with more explanation, the recall, according to this article, I'm on consumerreports.org, the recall comes more than 2 years after the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration opened an investigation into autopilot, following 11 crashes where Tesla drivers had autopilot engaged before colliding with stationary first responder vehicles. Lazy drivers. The investigation found that the feature doesn't do enough to prevent drivers from using autopilot in situations where they're not in control of the vehicle or where the system isn't designed to be used. There you go. If you're using it the way it's not designed to be used, that's when shit happens. You know what's crazy? Because the podcast that I listen to, the All In Podcast, they threw out some statistics about these autopilots and EV vehicles. And then the number of incidents, even fatalities that are involved, far, far pale in comparison to drinking and driving and distracted driving. And I'm not advocating, you know, I'm not here to beat the drum for stop drinking and driving. I shouldn't have to tell you that. We all do it. We all shouldn't do it. We all should take Ubers or Lyfts. But statistically, the odds of your EV, your autopilot, your Tesla having a fatal crash is far less than the other impaired. And I could pull the statistics up for you guys, but I don't think you care. You have to take my word for it because I'm not making it up. I'm supplying to you the information that I get from people who this is their job to do this. So Tesla's doing over 2 million cars. If you drive a Tesla, I'm pretty sure it's already been recalled and already been fixed. Speaking of recalls, we got a service bulletin from Acura. My wife's MDX. Now on here it says 2016 to 2020, but we have a 2023 MDX and we got the letter. So this upcoming Wednesday, she's taking her car up there and they're going to update her car. It's the PGM F1 idle stop software. Way too technical. So basically what this does is the software will update the decrease in the idle stopping operating range. It has something to do with your car stopping. I don't even know what the implications of that is, but I say that to support the fact that everybody has recalls. It's not just Tesla. But speaking of Tesla, and this is another story, and it's weird because this story was from last year, but I just started seeing articles on it, so I'm not quite sure why the news was so late to come out, but I thought it was breaking news. It's not. So this is from the New York Post. I think thedrive.com just reported this past week. But on this New York Post article, this is from June of 2023. Three brand new Teslas found in China after 13 years are now worth a record $2 million. Now this is conflicting with what I just read the other day, where the cars have been evaluated by Hagerty to be worth of probably $140,000. But the story is, the thought is, over 10 years ago, 13 years ago to be exact, these cars were purchased by a third-party company with the sole purpose of reverse engineering them for a Chinese company, an up-and-coming Chinese car manufacturer. So reverse engineering, if you're unfamiliar with that, means taking something apart to find out how it works and to learn and to replicate it. So these were the old Tesla Roadsters. And these are actually kind of cool cars. And I always wondered why they just appeared and then they disappeared. And eventually we got the Teslas that are on the road. The ones that everybody sees. You can't, here in Arizona, you can't go more than 2 blocks without seeing probably 10 Teslas. Sometimes you look in your rear view and in front of you and you are surrounded by Teslas. White Teslas, blue Teslas, black Teslas. I saw a silver Tesla recently on the highway, and I don't remember the last time I saw a silver Tesla before that. It's always those other colors, and there's so many of them. But this Tesla Roadster is kind of a cool-looking vehicle and looks nothing like the rest of these. But apparently they were bought by this company, and they were putting shipping containers, and at some point the company went out of business, and these containers just sat there unclaimed until they were eventually discovered. So the thought was there were 4 of them. One of them is missing. But in a separate container, they found a lot of parts for that one. So the thought is possibly it's already started to have been deconstructed and the parts are sold off. So in theory, I guess all 4 of them were there. Or maybe it was 3 and now there's 2 or 3 and now there's 4. I'm not sure of the details. And I don't care. I don't think you care about the details. But the funny thing is there are people out there that have FU money that want to pay millions of dollars for these cars that are only worth about $140,000 apiece. And that's all I have for the car news. If you like this episode, feel free to hit subscribe and leave a comment. I need more reviews. Thank you for hanging with me. This is kind of one of those episodes where I just run my mouth about any specific things. I try to keep it somewhat close to cars just to keep half of you somewhat interested. New coasters are out. The new podcast cover art is out, as you may have noticed. New shirts are coming. You can pick them up at the hardparkingpod.com store. None of you ever actually place an order. Actually, I do get orders every once in a while, but most of you want stuff for free because people are cheap. But there are new coasters. If you want free stuff, I urge you to join the Hard Parking Violations Facebook page. Actually, I don't give anything for free out there. I urge you to join the YouTube. I don't give anything out there for free either. By the way, this podcast RSS feed is now available on YouTube, and it wasn't before. So I had the channel where I'd have to upload a video, which took a lot of time, like the one I did with Michael Bush a couple weeks ago. But now the RSS feed is in there to where this exact episode you can listen to on YouTube and all the other episodes. So tell your friends, if you're one of those people who can't listen to this as often because maybe you're not sitting in the car, or you're one of those people who just like to sit on YouTube all day and you want to hear my voice all day, you could just go to the channel and go to the podcast playlist and just hit play, and you can share this with all your friends because everybody wants to hear my voice. It's great for going to sleep. It's great for criticizing. It's great for whatever you want. Also wishing a recovery to my friend Joe at Wright Honda. He had a accident doing some, skateboarding. Shoulder surgery. I heard he's doing a little bit better, but shout out to him. I want to thank Wright Honda and Wright Toyota, 4WheelOnline.com, Cell Shop Wireless Services, and AutoCannon official Honda Acura gear. All the Patreon business supporters, which include Automotive Specialty Tool out of Owings Mills, Maryland, Cree Automotive out of Winter Garden, Florida, Pell Construction off Count Ilia, Michigan, Decal Small Home Design out of Ashburg, Virginia, and Traverse City, Michigan. And of course, Shaving Success with the one and only Wes Tankersley out of Boise, Idaho. Catch us on One Drink Wednesday. We try to do it every Wednesday. We try to do it every Wednesday at 7 o'clock Pacific time. Got our new logo, got our new coasters, but you have to tune in to learn how to get one of those. If you're in a position to help the podcast upgrade, you can join my Patreon for as little as $3 a month. You can also join as a free member, apparently, now, and I don't restrict you that much. You just don't get free shit. Special thanks to Mark Stoneman, Catherine Cox, Eddie Ramos, Richard Graves, Byron Jones, Bo Jung, Alice Kamina, Drew Bunkley, and Yasuo Chiba. If you want to email the show, hardparkingpodcast@gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram @JFinning and join the Hard Parking Violations Facebook group, because I can't grow without you telling the world how great the show is. Let's do this. Let's grow this thing together. And I will definitely, maybe, possibly talk to you all next week.